The words from the prophet Isaiah today are words of hope given to people living in exile. They're words of assurance that God's word is dependable and true, that what God has planned will be accomplished, period. While we're fortunate not to be living in exile from our homeland or being under the domination of foreign rule, there are many people in our world who are. And they certainly are not just a few. There are some in all countries and even our own. And it might be tolerable if folks living under foreign domination and exile were the only concerns of our world. But the problem of folks being refugees and living in exile is the outcome of much more dangerous and violent events in the world. There are wars and genocide, kidnapping of children to human traffickers. There are atrocities and cruelties suffered by women and men, children and animals. So much hate-induced violence is perpetuated on a moment-by-moment basis that some days it's hard to even have hope. Some days it's hard to remember that just as the rain and the snow comes down from the heaven and will not return until they have watered the earth and provided food, God's word will not return empty, but will accomplish that which God purposed and will succeed in the thing for which God sent it. St. Paul reminds us as well, we are not those without hope. We do have hope. We have the hope promised in Isaiah to the exiles in Babylon, the hope promised through the resurrection that Christ has returned to the Father and so shall we, the hope found in the Spirit that strengthens us to do the work we have been given, even if it sometimes seems futile. I had a lesson in hope this week that came from what might seem to be a hopeless place. Since moving here to Grace, I've had the occasion to visit the Calhoun County Jail on many occasions, visiting several different folks, two of whom were accused of capital murder. Prior to this, I had never had the occasion to visit anyone in jail or prison before, and while I realized that it is a part of our Christian calling to visit those in prison, it was not something I really yearned to do. And now that I have gone to the jail many times, it is still not something that I look forward to. Not because of the folks I visit, but because of the experience of being there. If you've never been in a jail or visited a jail, let me assure you that you would rather not. The experience begins with a visitor being granted entrance into the lobby by pressing a call button, which is followed by a loud buzzer and the locking sound of loudly clanging steel door. Signs assure you that if you have your cell phone with you, on or off, you will be asked to leave. Next, you sign in, show your ID, and wait and wait and wait, sometimes 30 minutes or more, to walk down the narrow hallway lined with double-paned bulletproof glass, divided by cinder block walls forming small cubicles, each of which has a telephone attached to a metal cord. The movies are actually accurate about prison visits. All the while you are there, a free person, accused of breaking no laws, you feel the loss of freedom. You become very aware that you are fully in the hands of the will of the deputies. This loss of freedom, while temporary, is still palatable and uncomfortable. It was in this odd context that I had my first lesson this week in hope. I was sitting on the metal stool, phone to my ear, visiting with a pleasant and engaging young man who has not been outside or seen the sun in 3 years because he's accused of capital murder. I don't know if he's guilty or innocent, and thankfully it is not my job to make that determination. I pray for him daily, and I believe that our baptismal covenant should be followed in all cases. We promise to respect the dignity of every human being, not just those human beings who are innocent or free, every human being. Personally, I think our jails and prisons need to make that same promise. The conversation previously had ranged from movies that we had seen to books that he had read to Foothills Day Camp and all sorts of other worldly topics. Then it became more serious. I asked him how he could keep such good spirits knowing that he may never get out of prison. I know he has down times, but he has always put on a good face for me, and I'm not sure that I could do the same. He told me that he wished he could have understood how important the little things of life are. He wished he had paid more attention to sunsets and the feel of grass on your feet. He wished he could realize that one moment of your whole life could change and you would be at the total mercy of others, some of whom have no mercy. He told me he had to keep strong, to not allow the hardships of jail, of which there are many, get him down. Above all, he holds hope that truth will prevail and justice will be served, and that God's word will accomplish that which it purposed and succeed in the thing for which it was sent. Even in the face of life behind bars, there was hope, and I was moved. Then later in the week, this theme of hope, even at the loss of freedom, reappeared when the movie The Shawshank Redemption was replayed on cable. Shawshank Redemption is one of the few movies that I am happy to see replayed regularly. The setting of this powerful movie is again a prison, and the lives of the inmates and their interaction with each other and the involvement with the corrupt system in place. Red is a longtime inmate, played by Morgan Freeman, who befriends a newly convicted Andy. Andy boldly proclaims his innocence in a double homicide, and as it ends up, he really is innocent. After spending 2 weeks in solitary confinement for commandeering the sound system and wafting a duet from Mozart's Marriage of Figaro throughout the entire prison, Andy returns to the cafeteria and has a meal with his regular group. They question him about his time in the hole, wondering how he could describe it as the best time he ever served. Being in solitary is known to break many a man. But Andy reveals that he has something inside that cannot be taken away. Something that helps him remember that there are places that don't have walls. And there is music that is beautiful. And those memories and that hope cannot be taken away. Red, on the other hand, is skeptical, to say the least. He tells Andy, hope is dangerous and can drive a man insane. Still, Andy never loses his hope. And in the end, he says to Red in a letter, hope is a good thing, maybe even the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. Neither of the characters in this movie attributes their hope to God, but there is hope in goodness and that which is bigger and better than themselves and their experience and life in prison. We attribute our hope to God. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. I think my friend at the Calhoun County Jail was a living witness of this for me this week. In our world, in our lives, there will be times when our efforts seem hopeless, when all our words seem to fall on deaf ears, when God seems like the distant clockmaker of the deist, but that is not the truth. As we sing in hymn 665, all my hope on God is founded. He doth still my trust renew. Me through change and chance he guided, only good and only true. And as our morning prayer office, Canticle 10, translate the words from Isaiah 55, For as the rain and snow fall from the heavens and return not again, but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread for eating, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I have purposed and prosper in that for which I have sent it. With God, we have hope that God's word will accomplish what it is purposed and prosper in that for which God has sent it, even in the most unexpected places, people, and situations. There are sprouts of myrtles in the briars. Amen.